Hi, this is Clay.
Hey, Clay. Good afternoon. It's Brandon here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Hi, it's Mary Jo.
Hi.
Hey, Mary Jo.
So Clay, is Craig there with you?
Is. Yeah, you're right. He was here yesterday as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's good to meet him. It's good to have him on board.
He's a
Very
great
cool.
guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Matt got here today, or he got here last night. He came in today, and Peter's coming in tomorrow, so we're gonna have a full house.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Jo, I don't know where the rest of our crew is.
Well, Zoom 3 is joining, so I assume that's someone from our side.
I bet that's Josh.
It's going to be just me today from our side, FYI.
Okay, cool. So maybe if this does turn out to be Josh, I think that's probably the other key person, and then we can get started.
Cool. I'll be coming to DC in a few weeks, a couple weeks now, I guess. So I'll be looking forward to meeting y'all. Will you be there, both of you?
Yeah, we will both
Yep.
be in DC the 29th, 30th, and 31st. Will you come out then?
Cool. Yeah, I land on the 29th. I think I'm gonna have one day with y'all, and then I'm gonna do one day in Baltimore to talk with one of our Johns Hopkins clients.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so looking forward to
Yeah, I think the Village Reach group there will be Josh, Mary Jo, and Brandon. So.
Cool.
Okay, well, I think we should go ahead and get started. I don't know if that is Josh on Zoom 3 who was hopefully able to join us, but.
Yep, that's me. I'm trying to switch accounts.
Okay, no worries, no worries. So I can do a really quick intro to remind people what the sprint board looks like or what were priorities during this sprint. And then Clay, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah.
So this sprint, it looks like we did get some stuff moved to done. There are four tickets over and done. Some stuff's for the specification of both closed vial wastage and full stock availability. And actually the big ticket to build the full stock availability indicator is over and done. And a ticket about columns needed to report on the product model. And then there's some stuff in progress too about building closed vial wastage and some specifics like stock card data, test server goes into Druid, or some demo data tickets and things, Josh, that you are flagged on. NiFi and the geospatial thing we've talked about, documentation that Clay, you've been pinging us about, and a ticket about modifications to APIs that might be needed. So anyway, that's kind of a highlight of what was happening during the sprint. And it's nice to see some more things over in the done column. That's kind of all I wanted to say about it, but Clay, maybe you want to kind of introduce what's important for today.
Yeah, so I'll just walk through and comment on some of these that are still in progress and sort of summarize what's in the ticket. So for our stats, that top one, stock card data, that's really just a placeholder to flag that we still have improvements that we're making to the demo data. And the improvements that we're making this round are adding more facilities to the demo data so that we can see, especially for the full stock availability indicator, some more meaningful visualizations. But also specifically too, that'll help with our our geospatial representation, which we'll actually take a look at here later. The item there for disk 2 and closed vial wastage, last time we spoke, I was sort of describing that we were able to find the stock on hand at the minimum timestamp in a range. So, you know, in layman's terms, the stock on hand at the start of the reporting period, but we were unable to add that to another number within a larger metric. We have an update on that. Kelvin helped with some coding. He like wrote some JavaScript code because there's actually a bit of a bug, it looks like, in the way the superset metric would handle that. I'll show you that in a bit, just to show you kind of where we're at with that. But we're leaving that one as in progress because we still have some tweaks to make for closed vial wastage around the denominator. That second ticket below is sort of capturing the same thing. Build disk 2 is for the overall metric. This one is specifically for the denominator, but yeah, so they're tied together. For NiFi data pulling from the API, we have it pulling stock card data, and what we need to work on now is having it merge with your reference data. So that's in progress. That's something Peter's working on, and we'll hopefully be able to. I don't know how much time we'll have to look at it this week with him being here. We're doing a lot of like road mapping, but next week it's something we can get him back on. I have a ticket specifically for geospatial visualization. So what we'll take a look at here in a bit, we have a map working, but there are still some considerations around the map that I think there's some improvements we can make to it. So we're leaving that one as in progress just as we continue to build that out. But we do have a proof of concept up for that, which we'll take a look at. Caching reference data is kind of the sister ticket to pulling stock card data from your API. Confluence documentation, I updated the wiki page to yesterday and today. I'm leaving it as in progress because I mean, there are obviously still going to be more updates that we make, but this is just sort of to show that, you know, it is something that's on our radar and that we're actively populating now that we've made a lot of headway from the technical side. And then the modifications to APIs is more of a placeholder at this point, but as Peter does more work with having NiFi pull stock card data from your API and merging it with reference data, we're going to compile notes there in terms of recommendations that we would have in terms of how we could change the API. But we're going to wait and do the full sort of flow, the full data pull and merge, so that we, you know, fully understand what the system looks like before we like start giving ad hoc feedback now. So that one is empty for now, but we'll update it once we complete that pull of stock card data, merging it with reference data all the way from your API into Druid. That was one of our goals this sprint, was to have that working by the sprint. But we had some unforeseen outages on our data team, which kind of slowed us down there a bit. But you know, we were still able to make some progress, and I think we can have something up by the sprint on the 30th.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, that was a bit fast and dirty. We'll be looking at the visualization, and I'll give an update on the sort of technical guts and of the closed vial wastage denominator. Is there anything else on here that y'all wanted to talk through?
I think that looks good from my point of view. I'm also getting caught up for being out over the holidays, but this seems good.
Cool.
From my part, yeah, it would be great to maybe briefly see or get an idea of where the geo thing is at, and that'll maybe help us understand how important it is to quickly get you demo data to help the geo thing go better. And for documentation, I think we should maybe pull it up and just see it in a browser so people know where it is or where to find it on the wiki and can give it a read
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that as well.
Yeah, I think those are the ones for me. Anybody else have anything in particular they want to make sure we see tonight?
I think it's mentioned for me. That's good.
Cool.
Great.
Okay. So I will share my screen. And we'll start, we can start with the wiki. Let me know when you can see your wiki page.
Yeah, reporting and analytics.
Cool, great. So a lot of, you know, y'all had already populated goal scope, background, things like that. So I'll walk you through just some of the changes and additions that I made. Down here below our project status tracking, I updated this just today. We just edited some verbiage around where we're at with like the data load, just noted here that we're updating facilities, districts, et cetera, but everything else is good. I've listed out our data model. So these are the list of columns that we're pulling from both your stock card API endpoint as well as your reference data API endpoint. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying that's useful. I didn't see that yesterday. So thanks for doing that.
For sure. I figured this would be helpful. I mean, we're also planning to add some like instructions on how people can, you know, build their own metrics with Superset. And so I figured this would be helpful for people who wanted to know what was in there if they wanted to start writing their own metrics. I've taken our list of indicators here and put them into a table where we're sort of describing the numerator and denominator. As well as what group buys we have available, and then any relevant notes. This is basically what the information that I've just taken from those JIRA tickets we looked at that were specification for disk one and specification for disk two. That's just been brought into this table. And then I left, of course, your initial PDF here below that. We've added some implementation considerations. So, you know, as you all know, as we've been going through this, there have been a few different fields that could vary from one deployment to another. And we've got, you know, our product model hierarchy, specifically the number of commodity types that could be involved there. I know we have UNSPC or something like that standard that we would default to, but this is still calling out that if somebody's not on that that standard, that, you know, they would need to review with the number of columns that they're extracting. Same deal with GeoZone, and then also calling out how we're defining closed vial wastage. I know we had a couple of considerations there. One, the reasons that count as closed vial wastage, and two, how they define a receipt. And those are detailed up here in our closed vial wastage. We're saying which reason names, and then what our definition of a receipt is. I've added, Mary Jo and I are having a little bit of back and forth here on some of our user stories. And then I've added our JIRA tickets here just in the notes column for our user stories table. And yeah, I think that's everything. And then I've got an open questions and assumptions section down here. I pulled the sort of requirements document that y'all had, you had it farther up, but then I grouped it down here with also this discussion of inferring rows that we had a couple of showcases ago. It seemed like that was the best place to group them. So any questions or feedback on that?
Yeah, I think this is really, really good. And I'll take a probably more detailed review of it. I might suggest later, and we can talk about if we ourselves do it or we do it together, I might move some of this stuff or figure out a way to duplicate it in an effective way to our configuration guide. So for example, the implementation consideration section, we might move to configuration guide, but I think putting it here for now is great, and having it on one place, and we can kind of see what lives where best. But I'm glad that you're capturing kind of some of the back and forth that happened during a showcase that would be relevant for someone in the future. So I think that this is a really good start, and we might move stuff a little bit based on how people would access information. But personally, I'm excited to see all of this. So
cool. And one thing that you and I discussed briefly on Slack, Mary Jo, I'll be adding here. I'm going to create a superset user that has very limited access. And I can list that here as well in the link to superset, so that somebody reading this can get a look at the dashboard. I figured it was easier to just give them a link to the dashboard and not give them the ability to edit or change or delete anything than like listing a bunch of screenshots on here. So that's one thing I'll be adding to this as well.
Great. Yeah, I completely agree that it's the best.
Cool. So let's move on. We can start by taking a look at what we've got here for the geospatial visualization. So, I mean, as you can see, we've got a map of Mozambique, and as I hover over, the one province that we have data for, it's highlighted red, and it's showing that there's, a 0% full stock availability. It's pulling directly from our full stock availability metric. right now it's not the most valuable because, because of the sort of data we have. Once we have a few data for a few more provinces, it would be very easy for us to update this. There's a couple of considerations that there are around that. The way that this map works is Superset provides us with a website where we're able to download shape files, which are these mapping images. And then what we do is we add the ISO 3166-2 codes to those files, and those are codes that are that correspond to provinces within countries. For Mozambique, those codes are only available at the province level. They don't exist yet for more granular levels like district or locality. So that's the way that we sort of generate this map, and we map provinces to the actual, image of the province. We match a map a province name in a file to in your extract to the, corresponding province on this map is using those ISO codes. Now, it seems like at first glance that we would be able to essentially create dummy ISO codes for more granular levels. So like at a district level, even though there is no ISO code, for Mozambique districts, we could come up with some code set and use it. Basically have NiFi append that code set to the data stream and then build, the corresponding mapping in a district level shape file to map out things at the district level. There doesn't appear to be anything hard-coded in Superset that requires the use of ISO codes. They just recommend it because it's, a standard terminology. So even though there is no ISO code for districts in Mozambique, we think we might be able to, basically create a dummy set of codes so that we could map it at the district level as well. We haven't explored that yet because we were just spending time getting, what Superset said would work to work. We had a couple of problems just as we were generating the shape files and making sure that, Superset was looking at the right file. But that's something we can look at in this next sprint as well, because I know there was some discussion between Josh and Chongshun about keeping all of our data in the Nyasa province, but then looking at different districts within Nyasa. And so, you know, we can explore whether that would be possible to keep it at the district level. If that doesn't work, then we would be limited to using this mapping at granularities where ISO codes exist. So if we can't create our own equivalent of ISO codes and attach that to both the data and to our shapefile that has district level, you know, borders, if there's something in Superset that, you know, that we're not aware of that requires ISO codes and then do real ISO codes, you know, then that wouldn't work, but at first glance, it seems like it would. So that's something that we'll explore in this upcoming sprint. I mean, right now, again, because there are, I mean, we only have data for one of these ISO regions, you know, it's not, we're not seeing necessarily how the colors would compare and stuff, but I mean, at least we have, you know, a map that's working that is recognizing a metric value and whatnot. So I guess, what questions do you have about this?
So I think I have two questions.
Okay.
I'll first ask the silly question, or it's not the silly question, but it's not really the question I thought I'd ask. But for Supersets, does it support loading shapefiles? You know, we have an API, it has shapefiles in it. Can it load it from there?
Ooh, that's a good question. We stored the shapefile like on the server that Superset is running off of, and it pulls it from there. I'm not sure if we would be able to feed that through an API. So you currently have like OpenLMIS as an API that can provide shapefiles, or are you aware of some other system that we would want to connect Superset to?
No, yeah. So OpenLMIS has an API, and I should double check on the format, but it can provide what is it called? It's called a Postgres boundary, I think. Postgres boundary type. Okay. Which I believe is basically the same, you know, it's a set of points that you connect together, create a boundary.
And
so I believe that's basically the same as a shapefile. So you could put those together, and I'm sorry, that all comes from the API. You can get it by geographic zone. You could explore levels, so if you wanted all the geographic zones, which were districts, you could get those sorts of things. That said, it's not in, well, there is something in demo data that we put in there. I've never seen for Mozambique a shapefile of districts. That seems like something that's difficult to come by. Tanzania is pretty easy, but I think Mozambique is a lot more sensitive about that. Anyways, maybe it's out there. I don't know. Never seen it. So that would be the first thing is, yes, you can get it through the API.
Cool. So I think if you're actually providing, are you providing actual like coordinates or through that?
Yeah, they're actual, if I'm remembering correctly, the Postgres, I should look this up. The Postgres, I'm sorry, and this is PostGIS, the PostGIS extension. I believe it's called boundary. You know, there's point and boundary, I believe it is. And the second one there is, or no, it's maybe geometry. It's geometry. Anyways, I'm forgetting the actual term in PostGIS now, which is kind of silly. But it is essentially a whole bunch of Latin longs, each Latin long combination creating a point, and then you know you can put those together to create an area. Maybe it's called area. And anyways, each one of those, so each geographic zone would give you that set, and then if you were to look at our geographic zone hierarchy, you know, it has various levels, right? There's also geographic zone levels. So you could get the area for the country. You could get I'm now calling it area boundary for the area / boundary for the country. You could get, you know, set for provinces. You could get the set for districts, or, you know, et cetera, if that data were loaded in there. And that's all to say that it's not.
Okay. Yeah. So if, let's see. So there are, so I guess for starters, this is, we're just using one geographic map type, but there are some other ones that have just been added in the most recent version of Superset that might be able to do that kind of tracing based on coordinates, through some kind of feed or even in the file that we're sending to Superset. So I've just got like DeckGL is the group that sort of made these visualizations that, I think we could explore using those potentially. Otherwise what we're using now is this static country map, which requires, and I failed to mention this earlier, we have a shapefile that we convert into a GeoJSON file, and then that's what Superset actually reads as a GeoJSON file.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what this is sort of built on. But I think we can explore some of these newer visualizations that just came out in the newest version of Superset. Or alternatively, and this would be a larger project. But we have a product called Jazeta, which does mapping based on coordinates. And so we could look to integrate Jazeta with Superset, if we had that type of data available to us and it was of interest. But again, that would be something that would require a bit more work effort. So I guess as some next steps, could you provide like access to PostGIS or something like that, so we can take whatever it is or geometry, and we can take a look at what the data looks like, and we can one see if it'll play nicely with what's available in Superset through some of these new visualizations or old ones, and then two we could at least take a cursory look and see if it's something that Jazeta would be able to work with, and then we could discuss potentially building a Jazeta visualization for this at some point.
Yeah, I can send you the doc links. I'll look those up, or perhaps ask Chunks on where the best docs are for that. But we can send you those things. We'll also send you some links from PostGIS itself.
Sweet.
And I think that's it. I mean, I would be surprised if it would be too terribly difficult. I'm curious about adding ISO 3166-2 codes, and this is a standard I'm not familiar with. So I see there's 3166-1 for countries, 2 is subdivisions. Is there another one underneath this? Do you know that gets the? I think you were saying there wasn't.
Not that I found, but I'm going to just pull up what sort of how we got here. So Superset, when you go to visualization tools, need to add a new country, it gives you some basic information. It says you can download your shapefiles here. And that's what I downloaded here, right? So MOS 0, so when it's appended with a 0, it's country level. 1 is district level. You can see that, we edited it to add the ISO codes. It also provides what it looks like to be a shapefile for the district level, as well as for the locality level. And like the CSV, I'll show you the one that we edited just so you get a sense of what it looks like. But the CSV is pretty straightforward, and we just added this column here that has the ISO codes that we found online. And I looked at the district level file, and I can also, the same website, I use just Wikipedia to find these, the ISO codes for the provinces. The list of districts on Wikipedia in each of these provinces matches what's in the CSV that we downloaded with the corresponding shapefile here, which is why I was saying it seems like it's just an arbitrary mapping that Superset has recommended to people, because it's a standard. But because we have shape files for a smaller granularity, we're wondering if we could, make up our own mapping code, attach it to the stock card data, and if that's really what it takes.
Yeah. So, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Basically, what we do is we take this whole bundle of files and we convert it into a GeoJSON file and put that on our server, and that's how Superset, you know, is able to recognize this map.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's definitely interesting. The other question I had for you is actually about that, about what we're trying to get out of the demo data ticket. I think we had some back and forth.
Yeah.
And your response surprised me because it sounded something like this approach. And does this approach, you know, I watched the showcase for the last reporting showcase, but I wasn't actually there. And so the message that I got out of that was we need more facilities, et cetera, so that, and in different provinces, so that when we zoom out, we can see different colors on that map we were just looking at. Is that still true? And I guess how high of a priority is that, if so?
So it was both for the map, but also for like the bar graphs we have, you know, because we only have two facilities, the value is either going to be 0, 50, or 100% for full stock availability. And so that's why we were saying having, what we had discussed was, you know, having like approximately 10 facilities. So we'll have, you know, a greater range of values that we're seeing. I think I had, excuse me, I had clarified on that ticket that you're on with Chongshun that it might be good to not have them all in just the Nyasa province for purposes of this mapping. You know, that's if the, you know, if we create kind of a dummy version of ISO codes for district levels, there it wouldn't really be any benefit to have all of the facilities in one district on the map. I mean, it would just look like it is right now. Our bar graphs and line graphs would improve because, you know, we would have a greater variation of by facility, like we have here. Each of these lines is a facility. So if we were to group it by, you know, product, then the percent, or by orderable, then the percentage of facilities that, you know, would be changing more for that orderable. To answer your question, we care, I think, most about getting it from a variety of facilities, but making sure those facilities are across at least, you know, two or three different provinces will definitely make the map richer as well.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, in terms of how we would prioritize it, we're more, I think it's something we would like to have at least 2 weeks to look at in advance of like when this demo is meant to go in front of an audience. Like, you know, like I know this is a showcase now, but when this demo is sort of really ready to go live, we would want at least a few weeks to just massage our visualizations and make sure there's not something we're missing. But of course, I mean, the more time we have to work with it, the better.
Okay. So does that put it like mid-February? Is that a few weeks or?
What's the date that we want to have this dashboard like ready for like a proper demo? And when I say a proper demo, I mean with the whole, with, you know, streaming from your site, like through the APIs, through NiFi into our dashboard so that we can show that if you make an adjustment and show that I dropped 40 vials of BCG, that my closed vial wastage metric changes on this dashboard. Like when are we planning to have that demo? And I would say getting our data spread across a couple of facilities, just for purposes of like these visualizations that we have here, we would like to have at least a couple of weeks to look at that. But more time, you know, would be welcome.
So initially we were aiming, you know, that we have this like Gavi demo coming up, but the date keeps shifting a bit. So I'm hesitant to say exactly when. However, at the end of March, when we ship 3.3, we would want definitely by then. So previously we were talking even earlier, but I'm not confident we're going to get a demo for Gavi prior to the end of March, or so it's going to be just before it.
Yeah.
Getting pushed back, but.
Okay. So then, yeah, Josh, I mean, mid-February is fine. That would be plenty of time.
Okay. And just so you know, I think it's in the ticket, but the swag we have so far is that with all of, we would have to add those provinces to the demo data set for Mozambique. And so I think it was like 1 to 2 weeks, you know, roughly, and maybe we rounded that down now, but yeah, adding those new ones takes some time, and I think we're a bit stretched for time. So having a sense, I think, will help everyone figure that
out. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not something that's holding us up from a business logic perspective. It's just something that'll make our visualizations look better, and we'll maybe, once we have maybe a greater spread of facilities, we can start to think of, you know, better ways to visualize this. But I mean, if we get that by mid-February and we're looking at something in, you know, mid to late March, that's a month for us to keep, you know, to keep familiarizing ourselves with this, which is plenty of time.
Okay, great.
Cool. One other thing I wanted to let you all know that we're looking into about this map is that it takes a bit more time to render, like on the screen, than the other slices on the dashboard. So like you can see, these are popping up. Like this one is returning null because we actually don't have stock cards with no reason. But like this geospatial one is going to take, well, yeah, it took, I guess, not much longer than this this table to the left. But I mean, when I've been playing with it over the past couple of days, it'll take, you know, 5 seconds longer than some of the other slices, and I'm not totally sure why that is. Superset gave in their documentation some instructions on how to shrink the size of the shapefile before converting it to DOJSON. We didn't do that just so we could get something up and running. So I'm going to look into potentially shrinking the size of the file before we convert it to see if that helps with performance. Just that's more of an FYI, and that's captured in the Jira ticket on this geospatial visualization, that it's something we're looking into. But I just wanted to let y'all know. Okay.
I have a quick question. It's kind of out of left field, but just curiosity. Are there within Superset an ability to schedule a run of a report and like send it via email or a PDF or something in Superset itself?
Not that I'm aware of. I know that I'm able to like set, this is a new feature with the upgrade, but I'm able to set a auto refresh interval. But I don't know if I'm able to like schedule it and email it. That's a good idea. I know that's something that a lot of other reporting platforms offer. Let me take that as a follow-up, and I can get back to you on that.
Or even ways of extracting the information out, if like you could pull it out from our site.
Yeah.
Because we know we'll want things offline down the road.
Yeah.
Asynchronously like sent out because certain users.
Mary Jo, when you're talking about that, are you thinking about the offline Tableau workbook where you can interact with it?
No.
Okay. That's just like screenshots.
Yeah, I'm saying like, if we created a report that we knew a certain group of users would want to see, but want to see it asynchronously, like get it sent to them so they can open it online, but not dynamically interact with it.
Yeah. So basically like a PDF of this would be sufficient that we could email to somebody.
Yeah. And Josh, what you're talking about is another need, but just not the one I was asking about, but.
Yeah, I'll look into that. I know Superset does have APIs where we can expose this aggregated data, to some transactional system that would need to visualize it, or you know, maybe if you have some other visualization system like that, you know, you, like maybe even Tableau that you could expose the data to. I don't know if those APIs would, I mean, if we could have that API create a PDF and email it, or if that's something that would require us to do a little bit of dev. So I'll do some research on that and I can let you know.
Yeah, so the meeting in DC, we will have a session, and I know this is getting on beyond the showcase kind of thing, just kind of, there will be a session talking about reporting for the next project, and we'll get much more into the different needs. So like what Josh was talking about is having more offline support to be able to interact with data. So if you and Peter are chatting or looking into what Superset can do or not do, that would be great to inform some of those conversations at the end of the month, because we'll get more into the more robust needs of reporting.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll talk with Peter about that when he gets here tomorrow too, just so he's aware.
Okay, cool. And just as a time check, we have about 20 minutes before a hard stop for the product committee meeting. So I know we spent a lot of time on the geo stuff, but we should make sure we get to look at everything else we want to see today with how indicators are doing while our time before our time's up.
Yeah, so we can jump over and take a look at the closed vial wastage denominator here now. So what I have now is just a bit of a data dump. And I can show you, and I'll tell you, and I can actually show you some of the problems that we're having, but this is showing you, you know, where we're at. But basically, the denominator for closed vial wastage is the stock on hand at the start of the reporting period, which is our first column here, and plus the quantity from receipts over that reporting period, divided by the vials wasted, due to closed vial wastage. Last week, we were able to pull the sum of the stock on hand at the start of the reporting period and the quantity from receipts, but we weren't able to add them together in a metric and then, you know, later come up with our rate. So the reason for that is this: to pull the stock on hand at the start of the reporting period requires what's called the double first aggregator, which gets the value for the minimum timestamp in a range. And what that aggregator stores is both the value and the timestamp. But when we try to have a post aggregator that references, you know, these two columns, these two aggregators, it's not smart enough to know whether to pull the value or the timestamp from the double first aggregator. So that's what was throwing the error that we were unable to get around. Kelvin wrote a JavaScript metric, which is this sort of here that's just returning object, and was able to nest that within a rate that is, you know, properly adding them together. I can show you that, you know, we've got what 238, 6 divided by 238 is, you know, 0.252. That's 252 here. So like it is correctly adding the two. But the problem that we're still encountering is if we don't have this metric, this which has the JavaScript in it included in our visualization, it'll throw an error. So if I were to remove this beginning SOH post and run our query, it throws an error. So basically we can't have for practical purposes, right? This, these graphs, we just want to have the percent as a metric on there. We don't want a bunch of additional metrics on there. And so for practical purposes, you know, we need to find a way to have only this metric included in a slice without having it throw an error. We have a couple of ideas on how to do this. One, you know, we can build like a library and plug it into Druid that would essentially give us what that library would do would fix the bug in the way that our post aggregator is referencing the output of that double first and let it know just to, you know, look at the value and not the timestamp. So that's one option we have. Another option we have is when Druid indexes the data, it can perform this calculation. So we can just include the JavaScript code that Kelvin wrote in Druid, and when it indexes the data, so as it's receiving the data from NiFi, it would perform this calculation using that JavaScript. Right now, you know, we've built all of these metrics just right in Superset using JSON queries. And so, you know, we also have the ability to perform these calculations at the time of indexing. So I think what we're going to do is, I mean, we'd like to, we're going to get, when this is just something we identified just earlier today. So we're going to talk with Peter to see what he thinks about this and what his sort of desire for our involvement with the Druid platform, you know, be. Is it something that we should start developing in? It is open source. Or is it something that we should just flag for their developers to work on? You know, our team can continue to work on other efforts, and because we do have this workaround to calculate the metric at the time of indexing. So we have, you know, we have a couple of solutions for this. One of them, fixing the bug in Druid. Another is just to handle this calculation at the time of indexing, which, you know, Druid is built for. So yeah, we will hopefully, you know, have this cleaned up by the next showcase, so that the denominator in our graphs that we have on the dashboard is, you know, correctly combining the stock on hand and the receipts. Any questions on that? I know that was kind of a lot.
Not from here. Looking forward to the answer. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We were surprised that it was behaving that way. Yeah, I guess that sort of does it from our end. Wanted to give just these couple of updates on where we're at with the geospatial and then with this denominator. Otherwise, we've added the new columns that Josh and the rest of the Village Reach team added that capture things like commodity type, trade item. You know, so that's all good. Any I guess miscellaneous thoughts from the group?
No, I think this is really useful to start seeing, and I'm going to catch up with Vidya later today. To make sure, I know that she's been weighing in over the last couple of weeks. So
yeah,
know if we have any other comments, and I'll flag this to the product committee as well to start maybe watching some of these showcases or logging in and asking questions to make sure we're getting some more feedback around the visualization side.
Cool. And I think what we can do, we have a few more minutes here. I wonder if we could talk about some of the next indicators, right? So like would just at a glance for the next few, do any of these jump out as something we could build with the data model we have already? I myself can certainly take a more detailed look at them. I don't know if any of these jump out as something that we could really easily build with the data we have already. You know, and we can potentially start building out some new indicators as well, because sort of the issues that we've been, you know, that with the closed vial wastage is something that's going to require Kelvin's time, and Antonate is working on the automatic, you know, automation of the data flow, but because like most of our business logic is, you know, built out, I could spend some of my time building out some additional indicators that, you know, would be possible using at least these elements we have here. Something that would require requisition data, you know, would require a bit more effort. But if it's an indicator that's solely based on stock card data and uses these items, or even if maybe there's just one other field we needed to add, it's something we could start working on as well, just to keep making progress and get beyond these first two. So I don't know if you have thoughts on off the top of your head right now, or if you want to take a look and let me know. I can also certainly take a look and let you know based on what's in this PDF.
I don't know, Josh, if you have a comment, but I think with a quick glance, I don't see much within that indicator list we have, because the first three and four need the ISAs, which we haven't yet mapped, I believe, if you look at your list. One thing that, and if we do have time and like want to start doing other visualizations, I think perhaps talking with Vidya this afternoon, we might come up with some ideas, but they probably won't be disk indicators. They'll be more around looking at stock on hand levels across multiple facilities, because we can't actually, right now, we don't do that in our OpenLMS. So that would really help for demoing and showing. I mean, it's very valuable. It's just not a specific disk indicator, because I think the rest of these would require more work and not using the indicators we already have mapped. Value add reports with the indicators we already have mapped.
Cool. That's good. That sounds good too. I mean, yeah, additional visualizations or ways of sort of looking at the indicators we already have built out. Yeah, you know, it's also something that I can certainly help build out. So yeah. Feel free to send me what feedback you and Vidya have after your meeting, and I can, you know, work on getting those built out while our data engineers are cleaning up some of the issues that we touched on today.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like a subset of the first indicator, but not being a rate of either out or not. It's more of saying what is the stock on hand of all of these and which ones are low or something, you know? So it's looking at stock levels across.
Cool. Yeah, no, I like that. That sounds good.
Does anyone else have any comments that jump out at them? But that's just my first gut reaction.
Not really, no. I think when we're talking about the plan, the forecast in full, we're always talking about ISA, correct?
Yeah, and in full gets to that shipment stuff that we have it. We're working on now, so we won't. Okay. And the proof of delivery, so we don't have that ready. And then the 6 and 7 are the cold chain pieces.
Yeah.
It's video on.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think she is.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for your time, everyone. I've got a couple of follow-ups here. I'm going to be adding a test login to the wiki site with some limited access so that we can share that with, you know, some more members of your community. I'm going to follow up with Peter based on the information that Josh is going to be sending around what other types of mapping options we might have. And then, of course, we're going to take a closer look at the Mozambique map we have and see if we can get to a district level granularity using the shapefiles that we're able to find online and just like kind of creating a fake ISO for that level. And then Antoinette is going to be working on Antoinette and Peter are going to be working on continuing on streaming data, stock car data from your API, merging it with reference data. And then Kelvin will be working on the denominator for closed vial wastage once we get a chance to talk with Peter about it to see whether it's something we should fix in Druid or just handle at the time of indexing. And then I also have just a note here that we should be looking at what kinds of offline capabilities, you know, this has. Can the API print a PDF, or, you know, what other ways do we have to take the data that we have in Superset and display it without necessarily requiring an internet connection, you know, to access the dashboard?
Yep. I would also say in terms of next steps, I want to summarize what next steps are needed for Team Ill, especially Josh. Like, I know Josh's picture was on a couple of the tickets in progress.
Yeah.
But also, we had some demo data tickets, but those were all moved to done on our board. So, like, I just want to be clear, sort of, what are the next priorities in terms of, Clay, your needs that we need to focus on?
Yeah, I think right now what we really need from Josh is just the work on that demo data. The one that this closed vault wasted denominator, I had failed to assign that back to myself, so I just did that now because that's back in our court. Otherwise, I think that's, yeah, I don't think there's really anything we need, Team Ill's attention on, except of course the feedback that Mary Jo and Vidya and the rest of the community could, will be providing.
Okay, great. And Josh, that ticket 3768 on there about Richard demo data, do you want another ticket linked to it on our board, or do you kind of know which parts of that are in your court?
Yeah, actually, if we want to look at it, we've got 5 minutes. You want to look at it? Yeah, right. Oh, right up a little bit. There we go. Right there, 3922. This is the ticket I wrote. That is what we're talking about for different facilities, etc. And I think we should discuss this on Wednesday to see if we've got the capacity to do this. For this next sprint, starting Wednesday, I should.
Okay, excellent. So we should put 3922, I can do that right now, on our grooming board so that we tomorrow will talk about picking it up.
Yep. And Clay, if you want to comment on this one, because there are little questions in here, how many, currently there is one Miata, how many, currently there are two districts, et cetera, et cetera. If you have some feedback on this, how many? I know we talked about 8 to 10 facilities, but there's also the question of districts and facilities. Districts and problems.
Yeah, I can think on that and comment here.
Cool.
Is that something you need me to do like immediately right now, or is it okay if I do that tomorrow morning?
I think it's totally fine to do. I don't think it really affects the swag that much if we have to create more provinces and districts. I think it's mostly the same. That's my guess, and we can follow up with Chung Sung on that.
Cool. Yeah, I'll get you info tomorrow morning, East Africa time.
Great. Cool. I've added it to our grooming page, so thanks.
Sweet.
Okay, well then, I don't have anything else. Anyone else have question announcements before we adjourn?
No.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thanks everyone. Have a good day, and I will talk with y'all soon.
Okay, have a good evening.
Bye.
Great. Thanks all.